Welcome to today's episode of the Flower Hour with Florist Review. I'm very excited to have a round table of fabulous women in the floral industry, and we're here to share their stories. So I would like to introduce Valerie Cristosimo, who is the CEO and president of Black Girl Florists. And she's just an amazing inspiration in her industry. I've been noticing you more in the last few years, just seeing you out at events and doing wonderful things for our industry. So welcome, Valerie. Valerie, if you could just tell us a little bit about how you're involved in the floral industry and, you know, what you do, we'd love to hear.
Sure thing. Thank you so much for having me. I absolutely love flowers in every capacity. I've been working with flowers for about 7 years. And a couple of years ago in 2020, I was looking for more florists who look like me. And I was like, well, where are we? So I started a list so people could shop Black for their flowers. And then from there, started a whole organization, and it's made quite an impact in the industry.
It sure has. You should be proud of yourself. I'm proud. It's awesome. And so how many people are in your group? Tell us a little bit about the Black Florist, you know, movement and what's going on there.
Sure. So I'll start by saying that as Black florists, we make up about 2% of the total industry. So that's 2%. That's Black women and Black men. So you can imagine it's a lower percentage for just women. And I wanted to be able to focus on celebrating and promoting our work, because a lot of times we don't have the same access as our Caucasian peers in this industry. And it's been so amazing and so beautiful to connect with different organizations and see the support that has been given and poured out to our organization.
I love that. And what is your background with flowers? Do you have a flower shop? Are you an event florist?
Oh, man. I work with flowers in multiple capacities. I would say right now, I pretty much do a little bit of everything. I am an event planner by trade, and I went to Florida State University to study hospitality. Once I got my event business up, one of my brides was like, hey, can you do flowers? And I was like, yeah, I think so. So I started by doing a lot of like pop-up events and working with some brides doing smaller events. And I was like, I think I can do this, and I really love it. So then went from event planning to doing floral work, and now primarily manage BGF. And I also opened a floral co-work space in Atlanta for florists to come and be able to work on their designs and meet with their clients. So we have about 5,000 square space, basically space they can work in. And then we also have a 10 by 10 cooler and a full kitchen. And it's literally my favorite place in Atlanta.
Oh, that sounds like a great collaboration. I love that space. That sounds fabulous, Valerie. Well, we sure are glad to have you in our industry. And I think you are a powerhouse as far as a woman role model being out there and bringing people together. And I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I would love to introduce our next guest, who is Teresa Colucci, AIFD. She is the current president of the American Institute of Floral Design, as well as a flower shop owner. So we welcome you, Teresa.
Thank you.
Teresa, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your floral journey and who you are and how you're involved in the industry.
You know, I feel like I had to jump on things because I always knew that I loved flowers. I kind of thought when I was in high school, I got a job in a flower shop. And leaving high school, I was either going to go to college for restaurant management. I loved cooking and restaurant management, or I was going to go into the floral industry. At that time, I didn't know how big the floral industry actually was. Wound up going to college for hotel restaurant management and worked in a flower shop for my part-time job. And it just kind of rolled from there. When I left college, I was making more money working in a flower shop than an entry-level hotel job. So I stuck with that because I had to pay the rent. And it just rolled from there. I opened my own shop. And from that point is when I really discovered what AIFD was. I was in a small town for a long, long time. I was reading my trade magazines, wanted to know what these addendums were behind people's names, the certifications, and went to my first convention in 2001. And that's when I was like, whoa. I am surrounded by people that are as passionate about flowers as I am, and started my journey with AIFD.
I love that. That's how I started my journey too. And I think there is something about being in a room full of people who share your passion. You know, I mean, my family loves me. I know they know I love flowers, but they don't have that same passion when I talk about flowers. You know, and when I'm with my flower friends, there just is something that just, you know, just it just makes you feel full, and you learn so much from each other, and you inspire each other. And, you know, it's, you know, the education is one part of it, but there also is about the collaboration and the friendships that we make and how it really does help us along our way, along our journeys, whatever that may be.
Totally. Whether you're in AIFD or not, you know, all the women on this panel today all share this great passion for flowers, and it connects us, and we have so much to share with each other.
I love that. I love that. So how long have you had your shop, Teresa?
I started my shop in 1987.
Wow. And what is it called, and where are you located?
So it's called Meadow Scent, and I am in the Hudson Valley of New York. So we're about an hour and a half north of the city.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right in the mountains, a big tourist area for anyone in Manhattan.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, the getaway from the city.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I love it, Teresa. Well, thank you for all you do for our industry. I think that you are also a great role model, and just I love seeing a woman in the lead of AIFD right now, and you're doing a great job. You're a wonderful leader, and I think that inspires many, and hope it inspires the young people, the new people, so we can get them into the industry, because I know that's a big goal of ours.
Thank you.
I would love to introduce our third guest today, who is Amy Marella. And she is from LA, and she is a more, I would say, like an event florist. But we would love to hear about your floral journey, Amy, and where you're located and what you do for the floral industry.
Honored to be here, especially with these ladies. So it's always fun to hear everyone's stories in different parts of the country. So I started my company 24 years ago, and I had zero floral background. I never worked in a flower shop. I wanted to work in a flower shop. I had called to like try and work at one, and they kept saying, no, you don't have experience. You don't have experience. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I started making flowers out of my apartment, and at the time was in the music business. And so all of our friends in the music industry were like, will you make this for me? Will you make that for me? And before you know it, my apartment was filled with flies, and it was 60 degrees, and we couldn't eat out of the kitchen. And my husband now, but boyfriend at the time, was like, you need to move. This isn't working out. So I opened a flower shop, not knowing what I was doing. And my dad was my delivery driver. He was retired. And I was like, okay, let's give this a shot. And, you know, that was 24 years ago, so I had nothing to lose at that time. And then I just plugged away. I mean, I cried myself to sleep for 5 years because it was so hard. But little by little, I just like learned, you know, the lessons, and I'd go to the flower market and I'd like talk to people and be like, what about this? And how do you do that? And who's this? And, you know, and as I continued to grow, like looking now 24 years later, we have 30 full-time employees. So it's, you know, we just kind of kept packing on. Like, okay, now we need someone that can do this. And now I've done every person's job, you know, from driving the van to picking up at the market to selling to answering the phones, you know. So we've just, as I've like released parts of the business to people, it's like that's how I continued to grow. And then just finding good people that were able to fill those roles, you know, and knowing like, okay, that's not my strength. Let's get someone to do that. And let's get someone to do that.
See, that's so important, what you just said. I think as a businesswoman, is for some of us, it is hard to let go at times, especially when we've started our business and we've done every job, or I'm doing all the jobs, you know?
Right.
And then it's like, okay, I can't do this all alone if I want to keep growing. And, you know, and then to also realize like, okay, maybe I'm not the best at this and I can hand this off, you know, and, you know, just listening to other people and getting different ideas. So I'm sure that's been a big success for part of your business.
Yeah. So it's probably the biggest part of the business, just as allowing, you know, people to do things that they're better at than maybe me, or just knowing that we need to have more people to do those things, you know? So I started off just wanting to do flower arrangements like happy birthday, I love you, anniversary. And then that turned into, oh, there's this thing called the wedding business. And I was like, what's that? You know, and then we got that. And then about 12 years ago, we got into the event business, or into the hotel side of the business. So we do five of the major hotels in Beverly Hills. We do all the lobby florals. And then we built in, you know, into the more of the event side. So the corporate and social side of it. So we kind of have our hands in all pockets of flowers. So I always say we're divided into kind of four buckets. So we have our daily business, our hotel business, our wedding business, and our social event business. So it's definitely challenging, but we've got a great team of people. So that's how it works. Otherwise, I would never sleep.
I think that's so neat. So you do have like a retail shop for everyday, you know, arrangements. Can people go in, or is it just deliveries, or?
You could come in here. It is set up like there's a receptionist that you could walk into to, you know, to speak with, but it's definitely set up like a warehouse, you know, studio mm-hmm. space. So offices are upstairs, design floors downstairs. You can definitely do that. Most of our business, I would say maybe like four or five times a day, someone walks in, but for the most part, it's online, on the phone, handled that way.
That's great, though. I mean, I think that's neat that you are handling that part of the business and have kept it as well as the event business, where some people, you know, separate that and say, I can only concentrate on one or whatever, you know?
The good part about it for us just in LA is it's a great ebbs and flow to, you know, when one bucket of the business is down, another bucket could pick up, which is really great. So we kind of don't rely. And then sometimes all four buckets are super full and it's like, oh my gosh, but it definitely, you know, allows us to kind of like move through the slow periods. Then that another side will pick up and be busy, which is nice, but it is challenging. There are days where it is extremely overwhelming, but again, team. You got to have a good team.
You got to have a good team. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. Well, I just love that. I think that's so exciting. You do a great job. Tell us the name of your shop and where you're located so that people know.
No problem. It's called The Hidden Garden, and we're in Los Angeles.
Awesome. Are you like on it? I mean, I figure all of LA is busy, but are you like in the, you know?
We're in the middle of what we would call West LA. So we're off the 405 and Pico. So we're centrally located for us, like to get to all of our, because our hotels were there so many times a day. So for us, it's with traffic. You need to,
I was going to say that. Has
able, to, I mean, it's a quick jump. Yeah. So which should
it
take
might be
5 minutes,
miles away, 25. But it's going to take you an hour.
Yeah. Not going to lie. Today, it took me almost 2 hours to get to work today, which was ridiculous. So yeah. So yeah, you just have to be prepared. So yeah, we do stay centrally located so that we can get to, you know, all of our clients pretty easily on the daily.
That's a huge thing. I'm sure even just delivering flowers in LA is, you know, a lot more challenging than a small town, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's definitely a challenge, but yeah. So that's where we're in the middle of it.
How exciting. How exciting. Well, I am just so thrilled to have these three ladies here. This month is, you know, International Women's Day. It was just the other day, and we're so excited to celebrate women and hear their stories and their accomplishments and, you know, hopefully inspire other women. So I did want to ask each of you a few questions regarding, you know, International Women's Day. Teresa, I had a question for you. I wondered if there were any female pioneers or role models in the industry who have inspired you and how they've influenced your work. Because you have been around and it sounds like you've been on quite a journey, I am just curious, you know, if it was a mentor in the beginning or whoever comes to your mind as someone, a woman who has been a role model for, you know, where you are today.
So my boss in Boston, Susan Bates, she had this little tiny shop on the bottom of Beacon Hill. And she was definitely inspiring because she was the number two shop in Boston. And I didn't even know that when I went in to get a job there, how busy this shop was. But it was pretty mind-blowing how she handled everything. But if I had to say like a pioneer in the industry, Frankie Shelton was the first person that I ever took a class from. And I didn't even know what AIFD was at that point. I was just taking an educational class on design. And it wasn't even so much about the design. It was the information that she brought forward. You know, years ago, when you were a florist in a town, and I think it probably goes the same for any kind of industry when there's like businesses in the same industry, there's competition. And in the floral business, way back when, you didn't connect with your other florists. You didn't share ideas. You were definitely in huge competition and you weren't friendly with each other. But what that family of AIFD brought to me was this connection with other florists and really making it about the industry and bettering the industry and bettering each other as designers, educating the public, educating the student, and educating the designer so that we can all make this industry better. So it changed my whole attitude on how I would approach people that were in my business and share with them and not be threatened by them and not make them feel threatened by me, because there's enough work to go around. We're all in so many different aspects in this industry. And some of us are event designers, like Amy was saying, you know, you service hotels. And then there's people that just are just everyday retailers. And there's so many facets to it that there's no reason to be threatened by somebody else. We should all kind of work together to elevate it. And it just makes for a much happier life when you are not trying to compete with another business. You should concentrate on your own business and share your thoughts and help each other out. It really is beneficial to everyone around, including yourself.
I so agree. And I find that interesting that you were there during the change of that, because for me coming into the industry, when I first went to a convention or got myself out there, same thing. I bought a flower shop in my early 20s, didn't know as much as I should, you know, and was craving to learn and to be better. And yeah, just, you know, being together with other people really, and people have been so open. I couldn't believe that when I found these people, you know, and I was like, I'm new, I want to learn. And I remember one guy was like, you know, I asked about contracts and stuff. He said, oh, well, I can show you mine. I can show you. And I'm like, really? Like, because to me, in most industries, like you said, it's not the kind of things you share. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, but I find today our industry is so open to, you know, this isn't a secret. I'm so-and-so and I make these certain designs and I'm not going to show you how I do it. It's the opposite. But that is so interesting to hear from you that it wasn't necessarily like that, you know, when you started and you saw that change that maybe came through education and people coming together and realizing that. Because I do think we're very fortunate to be in this industry that, for what you just said, that when I go to a convention, people are spilling out excitement of whatever. It's not a secret. And it just helps us all in the end. So I find that very important. And just super quickly, for the people who don't know who Frankie Shelton is, Teresa, I didn't know her. I've heard a lot of people were definitely, she got through to a lot of people. If you could just tell us a little bit about who she was.
So she was a designer in Texas. She was one of the original people that joined in AIFD and became a champion for the organization. And when you talk about the organization, it's really what the organization stands for, which makes her a champion, because the organization stands for education. And it's about, like I just said before, educating the public, educating each other. And she was so awesome. She was a great, great designer to begin with, but her enthusiasm was infectious. Like, you could have a conversation with her and you would walk away feeling like you could tackle anything, because she just elevated you to a point where your self-esteem was so great. She was just that kind of person. And so she recently passed. And so many people look to her because she was just this great light in a lot of our lives.
Oh, that's how I've seen her. Just didn't, you know, I didn't get to know her, but I know that, yeah, she was a strong force in our industry for sure and made a lot of impressions. That's exciting. Well, Miss Valerie, I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear about a woman who inspires you that has to do with the floral industry.
I would say the local Atlanta florist. When I jumped into the scene and added floral as a component to my event planning business, I didn't really know where to even start. So I was making these bouquets just out of my own knowledge and some YouTube, but the reception that I received from getting started was amazing. You know, I thought this was a space that was heavily competitive, but to be able to come alongside other floral vendors and they be willing to teach me the skill or give me feedback, I was very surprised by that. And even to this day, going into year 8, just the level of support that we have with one another, freelancing together, collaborating on events, traveling together for events. For me, that's been mostly the biggest joy of my experience here in Atlanta being a florist.
I love that. That's exciting. And I know that you were just at the Philadelphia Flower Show, and I would love to hear about your experience with that. I believe it's maybe your second time going. I know you were there last year as well, but please tell us. I know you were representing the Black florists, and you know, to tell us about that experience, because there's many who don't know how fabulous and great that must be.
Yeah. So this year was our second year participating in the Philadelphia Flower Show, and we were there for about 2 weeks. We've been preparing for about 5 to 6 months for our installation, and it was just amazing. A lot of hard work, a lot of diligent work. We had a team of about 8 to 10 women with about 5 to 6 volunteers that also helped. So a total, yeah, a lot of people, 14 to 15 people total that helped. And it was a lot of work. When you talk about preparing the buds, going to another state, you know, making sure that the structure stays up for over a week. It was a lot of work, but it was really great. We had an opportunity to connect with one another. We were coming from all over the nation. You have women there from Maryland, from Cleveland, from all over. Myself from Atlanta, some of the local girls in Philadelphia. And it was great because all of us have our own businesses. So we all took time out of our own places and homes and shops to come and bring this installation to life. And just one of the most beautiful parts about it was engaging with the different attendees who experienced the exhibit and meeting a lot of other Black women who basically said that they saw themselves in our exhibit, that they were glad that we were there, that we were able to create representation, from hugging so many different people and crying with different people. Like, it truly made an impact in the show. And last year, it made a huge impact because we were the first all-Black team to participate. And so, you know, the media was there and a lot of people were there supporting us. But to have the same support the second year and to make a different impression, it was amazing to see.
That is so exciting. So how many days does it take to put up the installation? Was it like a week install or like,
Yeah, the whole week before. Wow. You were there for about, 7 days.
Wow. See, that's what I want people to realize too, is, you know, you see these fabulous pictures and you are, you know, taken back. It's amazing installations, but you know, the work that goes into it, the planning, the, you know, the teamwork, just all of it for those kinds of huge things to come to life, I think is really exciting.
Yeah.
Teresa, I know you were there too, and hopefully you guys got to see each other there at the event, correct?
Yes, Teresa saw some guy and said hello, and I was like, hey.
I got to meet Valerie, yeah.
See, small world. I love it. I love it. I have to say, I haven't been yet, but it's on my bucket list. So hopefully I'll get to go next year because it looks like an amazing journey. How was your experience, Teresa? Did you have a good time?
It was great. It always is. But I love in the beginning when I was kind of done with my part of the exhibit. So that's when I kind of walk around and see the back end of before the exhibit is done and the public sees it. And then you get to walk around and meet everybody. And that's when I got to meet Valerie.
Oh, that's so exciting. Very exciting. I love it, girls. Well, good work. I say way to represent. And like Valerie said, you're giving up time from your own businesses. You know, these are the kind of things, you know, that we do in this industry is we do give back. And I thank you for giving back. And the reason I think that show is so important is for the public to see. You know, the four of us, we've seen amazing floral work. We've worked on it. We've, you know, been in the trenches, you know, and I'm still in awe a lot of the time. But, you know, imagine the public. And that's what is important to me, is for them to realize our craft and the hard work that goes into it and just the amazing things that we can create. So I think that things like that are very exciting. Miss Amy, I'd love to hear about some of the big events you've done, or, you know, if it's something that stands out as one of your prouder accomplishments or big, cool event, you know, share something fun with us.
I mean, one of our big accomplishments for us is like all of our hotel accounts. So I'm always,
that is a big accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm proud of our team for, you know, we keep getting new hotels, which is really cool. And I think that just speaks to a testament of how we handle those accounts. Cause you know, it's the Beverly Hills Hotel and Hotel Bel Air and Beverly Wilshire Four Seasons and Waldorf Astoria Beverly Hills, Mayborn Beverly Hills. So those are properties that require like 5-star service, and we have to provide them 5-star service because our guests are expecting that. So I'm proud of our staff for being able, you know, to handle that and to do that day in and day out, because it sometimes, you know, it can get a little grueling. You know, people have opinions about what's in the lobby and you're like, am I supposed to listen to that person's opinion or this person's opinion? You know, because everyone has an opinion about flowers, right? So that's probably one of the biggest day-to-day accomplishments that I see. We also do I think I'm in my 13th year or my 12th year. I can't remember now. We do a lot of work with the NFL. So we do Super Bowl every year. And that's been really cool. Yeah. So we travel wherever the Super Bowl is and we handle their tailgate party, which is the commissioner's party before the game. I actually got started on that because it was in Arizona the first year that I did. And the NFL is very good about hiring locally to support the community. And, you know,
Good to hear.
Yeah. So that is one of the most important features of like being a part of that group. Well, they brought us in as a local owned minority business owner. So as a female business owner, I was brought in as a minority business owner my first year. And we did a great job. And so they asked if we could come back for the next one. And I was like, sure. And then we just hired local people to help us work. And then we just kind of, it spiraled into where we are now, where our team travels every year to do that. So that's always a really fun event to me, you know, that our team is really proud of every year to work on. And then at COVID, when the NFL moves the games a week, they moved it right into Valentine's Day. So that was always great.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's been for the past few years has always been a fun treat. Yeah.
A little challenge. Yeah. You know, they need to change that because it's not good for florists of any kind. I've noticed that too. I'm like, oh, please.
I know there was the one year that it was on the same day. And I was like, this is not good. There's no guy that's going to like stop this.
No, men are supposed to be buying the flowers,
Football. And the women they still want to watch the game too. So yeah, but it's moved this year. It was Wednesday. So we got a little bit of space. So next year will be Thursday. So I'm like, I feel like then we're going to move right back into the weekend again. But yeah, so that's been a really good thing. And that I do want to chime on inspirational people like that helped you. For me, I guess sometimes people don't think it would be the case in LA, but we actually have a lot of the top florists in LA and in Orange County, honestly. We're all like so collaborative, like, hey, I lost this, or I need more of these. Do you have this? Or, hey, does anybody have this I could borrow? Or where did you get this from? Or what's your source on this product? Or we're so good about talking. And I mean like on the regular text messaging, like, hey, I need this, you know? And so I'm always really proud of like all of us in the business that do that together, because it kind of goes back to what we were saying, like it's flowers and they're beautiful and anyone can make beautiful flowers. They really can. But your clients are hiring you because it's you, not just because of the flower. Like the flowers are pretty. Of course they're pretty. But like, who are you to the client? And that's why they hire you. So I think a lot of the people that I end up collaborating with business-wise here in LA and Orange County it's really like, that's your client because of who you are. And you do beautiful work and I do beautiful work, but we just have different clients, you know, that gravitate to us as people. And I think that's what a lot of people lose sight of. But I do think in LA, the people that I connect with, we all realize like, look, you're going to make something pretty. I'm going to make something pretty. How can I help you? You know, so.
And I think it is that way in our industry, like we were saying earlier, believe it or not. And it's, you know, regular people don't realize that. But even when I owned a retail shop, you know, if I was out of a foam wreath ring for a funeral or something, you're like, oh my God, I have this thing tomorrow instead of driving to wherever, you know, you call your competitor and, hey, can I replace it on Friday? You know, and then they realize, okay, yeah, maybe I'll be in a jam someday and I should do this for you, you know, but it's nice. Like you said, in every business, I don't think people would even dare to do that, you know, but it really does help us all in the end.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I love that. I want to hear a little bit more about hotel florals, because I know the ones, you know, that I've seen in big fancy hotels like that are sometimes these massive, you know, pieces of art, beautiful, but they also have to last a week. I just want to hear anything you have to say, if it's business tips for anybody out there doing corporate work. But I have always been curious. I mean, I know it's big money. I know you have to be 5-star. You have to
provide,
you know, be showing a good product.
The way we do it is we build, one of the hotels we build on site, but most of them we build here at the shop. We call it the shop. So we build it at the shop and then we install usually 5 a.m., 6 a.m. in the morning at the hotels. And then we have them spaced out. So we're going at a different hotel property each day. So we're not trying to do them all in one day. And then the trick really is maintaining what's in the lobby. So, you know, you have a 7-day window of something to be in the lobby. So let's say you do a Tuesday install to the next Tuesday install. Well, we have a staff of people that actually go every morning to each of the lobbies to what we call refresh. And that might be adding water. It might mean just plucking something out of the lobby. I think the thing that makes us so great at it is we do that every single day. We don't let it sit there for 4 days and say, oh, we'll come back. So we make sure that the lobby looks, because to me, the lobby is kind of our marketing. Like, so if someone walks in and is like, who does your flowers, and they can say the Hidden Garden, they're like, oh, those are so pretty. Or people take pictures all the time in front of hotel flowers, right? So the lobby flowers just always need to look pretty. So, you know, I'll go to meetings, or my event managers will go to a meeting at a hotel lobby, and you have, like, you're required to go walk by the lobby florals and make sure everything looks okay. Just as a Hidden Garden employee. Like, so because we don't want to walk in there and see dead flowers anywhere. Like, I don't want to see dead petals. I don't want to see, you know, anything like that. So I think that's been one of our biggest successes as far as being a hotel florist, is that we really make sure that it looks amazing all the time. And there's always going to be, you know, a bloom or something like that. It's a fresh product, but the attention to detail is a big deal.
Right. But that takes time and, you know, money and so forth. But I agree. I think to deliver that 5-star service, and that's why I was curious, because I mean, I know from even weekly accounts at little restaurants and little places that I used to have, you know, tell them, please add water. You know, I mean, like, right, you're the receptionist or whatever, right? Like, don't you see that there's no water? But nobody would ever do it. When we'd go pick up things a week later, you know, they're just like dried out. And, you know, they weren't the kind of clientele that was going to, you know, pay for me to come check it every day. But, you know, that's why I had the question was, you know, how do you, but, you know, with a high end clientele like that, and that makes sense. And I agree with you. I think it needs to look perfect. And I assume that that's maybe how Bellagio does it. You know, and that's what I wondered, is big things like that that I've seen that look perfect anytime I've walked in, but see, there's a florist behind the scenes, you know?
Oh yeah, there's a little fairy. And trust me, they want the little fairy to come at 5 a.m. when no one's in the lobby, trust me. So that's why we have that early morning hours, because it'd be great if we could show up at noon and start touching it up, but they don't want us in the lobby at noon.
Right.
When you're building, we have what we call refresh. So we build, and then we have a slush of refresh flowers, and those refresh flowers each go to each property. And then that way the driver will take the refresh with him. He might not use it. He might use it. It just depends. And then we use that to refresh what's in the lobby to make sure that it looks good.
Wow. I love it. Do you tend to use any particular flowers, like tropicals or things that are long lasting or just no?
No, we don't. We work with whatever is seasonally and looks really good. You know, there's certain things that flowers that will die. We know we're going to die in like 3 days. Like, we'll do a tulip installation and we're like, we know we're changing this out in 3 days. It just is what it is, you know, but we try and keep it seasonal. And then we also have to be really mindful of keeping the lobbies all looking different. We don't want somebody to walk in and be like, oh, they were there, there, and there. That's great. So we definitely work on trying to keep the looks different. So we end up using different designers here to do different looks. So it's like, you know, 1 week Tony might be designing, the next week Nelson might be designing that. You know, we try and keep it so it looks a little bit different every time.
That's smart. Keeps it fresh. I like
that. Yeah. And they all have a different flair. You know, every designer has a different look.
Definitely.
You can't count on one person for one look. You'd be dead. Or you'd just be pigeonholed into only that look, I guess. But
I love it. Yeah, no, I like that a lot. And I can see how important that is if you do a lot of hotels. You know, it's almost like you have to be a different person, you know, or different florist. You don't want that same look. You know, you want the good quality, you want the good stuff, but you don't want it to be like, oh, it looks, yeah, similar to the hotel down the street.
yeah, definitely.
I love it. I wanted to hear from you women, because I don't know if you have children and if you have families and if that's something that you have to balance with your life. Valerie, do you have children?
I don't have children right now. And it's very interesting because for me, I take this time to truly invest in my business, because I know that when I do have a family, I do want to take a step back and I want to be a really, really present mom with my family. Yeah. So a lot of times I think about, what would the mother version of myself tell me right now? And it's to grind and get the work done now so that you can be present with your family when they arrive.
Oh, I love that, Valerie. That's beautiful. And I know that you'll be able to do it. It's something we all juggle. But yes, I think making time and not losing out on those years is super important. Miss Teresa, I think you have a family. Will you tell us about your family?
Sure. I have 3 grown children, just became a grandma for the first time.
Exciting.
But they all are relatively close. One of my son is in the city, and my 2 daughters are pretty local. And one of my daughters works with me. So that's pretty awesome.
I didn't know that. That's really awesome.
Yeah. She's a really good designer, but she is really top notch with customer service. So I love to have her out working with customers because I hear her when I'm in my office, and every response that she gives is like on point as to what I would say. So it just works out really great. Yeah.
Oh, you did good, Mom. See that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's like a dream come true to have your daughter work for you. Mine are still, you know, younger. My daughter is 14, but I will tell you that she, you know, twists my arm every trip I go on. Of course, she can't come on a lot of them, but she wants to go to the flower show. She wants to, you know, come to the convention, and she wants to be a part of it, you know, and she knows how much flowers mean to me. But I think that that's really neat. I can just picture you sitting in your office and hearing your daughter and everything that, you know, that you've taught her, and how exciting that you might have somebody to, you know, take over the business that's family. I mean, that doesn't always happen, but that sounds very exciting.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's awesome. What about you, Miss Amy?
I do have 2 older, I guess now, children. So I have an 18-year-old who's at Boulder in Colorado. And then I have a 16-year-old who just committed to University of Miami. So that's exciting. But yeah, I kind of, Valerie, 100% grind away. That's what I did. And then once you have kids, 100% take the time to make sure you go to everything that they have going on.
Yep.
And then that's when you rely on, I mean, that's how I landed with my team too, was just, I wanted to be a present mom, and I wanted to be a great business owner, and all of the combination of those things. And actually, I was just looking from the camera while I was talking to you, but this picture that's right behind me right there, if you guys can see that. So my daughter made that. So she's 16, but she made it when she was in kindergarten. And my husband framed it for me for Mother's Day 1 year. But it says, "When I grow up," and then it says, "I want to be," it's all spelled wrong too, by the way.
I want to be
a flower arrangement girl so I could be a boss. And I was like, that was the best thing ever. Like, it's not even just about being the flap. Like, she sees me as like, you're a boss. That's what I want to be. So whatever.
But
the
that's
kids
a role
end up
model.
Being.
That's yeah. showing yeah, our exactly. kids that we can work, and we're not just, you know, I mean, I find value in that too, that they realize that I have to work, you know, and that, you know, that it's, I think it's important. You just have to find that balance, right?
Yeah. I think I always joke that my kids for sure think I'm a stay-at-home mom with a full-time job. Like, they don't understand that I'm like they call me as if they're like, "Hey mom, can you drop off blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I am at work, but yes, thank God." So I try to make it work. And I do feel like I miss out on some work stuff. But I've enjoyed the past, let's just say, you know, teenage years, like toddler years, that I've spent a lot of time with them. And I have missed a lot of things. I've missed jobs because I'm like, I can't do it. I've got to go to this soccer game. I've got to go to this lacrosse game. It is what it is. But I know, like, once they're in college,
right,
it's like,
now they're getting older, right, and you're going to get that time back. So it's just that. So Valerie, if you're listening,
do it.
You know, it's when they are young and it's intense and all these things, but those are the moments you need to, you know, exactly, say no to some other things, because you won't get that back. And then, like, I worry mine are getting older, and then I'm like, what am I going to do? Even though I work and I have plenty of my own things, but they're such a big part of your life, you know, but you know, I got to let them grow up and, you know, spread their wings too. But yeah, it's exciting, you know, the balance of being a woman and doing all this. But I think what you said, Amy, is so true, you know, and I think we are role models showing. I remember when I was younger and I was first going to have kids, and I was like, I mean, I'd love not to work, you know, just be a stay-at-home mom. And then I realized that wasn't me. I have way too much. I can't just sit around. Like, I have a drive. I have this, I don't know. I need that. And then, like you said, it's just finding that balance. And there's been times it's very tough, you know, or having to leave on a trip and, you know, having your little one just, you know, but you know, they're okay. And she was with my husband and they're fine. And, you know, it's part of it too. But yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good to show them that we're, you know, that we're working. And I love that your husband framed that, because who knew that little thing of, you know, what I want to be when I grow up. And
right.
I mean, that's just so special. So special.
It's cute. Unlike you, Teresa, I wish, whenever my kids will come in, like, they'll be like, "Samantha, do you want to work here?" And she's like, "Absolutely not." Like, she's like, "My mom works really hard."
Right. They see, see the hard work. Yeah. My kids too. It's not just, oh, go play in a flower shop. No, they've been, when I was younger, I had a retail shop in Santa Cruz, California. And so I'd have to bring the kids, you know, when they were little, and you do whatever you got to do. It's, you know, I had a little playpen in the side, but yeah, they knew that, hey, you know, it wasn't just playing with flowers. It was mommy's working, but you know, but I love when kids get creative in shops. And that's always fun.
So it's so cute when they do that. Or when your friends, I mean, we probably all have the same thing. It's like your friends say, what do you do? And I always say like, oh, I own a flower shop. And my girlfriends are like, why do you say it like that? I'm like, because no one understands flowers until you're in it. Like when you get in it, they're like, this is what you do. Like, this is a grind. I'm like, oh, it's a grind. Yeah. But it's a beautiful grind. Like, that's why we do it.
Right. And we do it because we love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's fun, but it's hard, you know?
Right. And you're right. But I think it's important for people to know that too, where I do think, you know, yeah, just friends, when you're like, oh, I work in the floral industry, you know, oh, that's so fun. And yes, it is fun, you know, but don't think that I don't work, you know, it's probably more work than a lot of industries, but, and what I see in that is because of our love for it. We wouldn't do this. Nobody would do this.
Absolutely.
Just the money or just the whatever, you know, it really does come down to a true passion for flowers. I think that keeps us all going, you know,
and making people happy. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like flowers. I remember when my dad first started working for me, he said, and he was retired. He said, I have the best job. He said, everyone is happy to see me. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, who's mad at you when you bring flowers? I was like, that's a great point. No one's ever mad at flowers.
It's true. I mean, for me too, the emotion that they bring, you know, like I've done projects, you know, if it's even donating flowers to an elderly home or something, and the way it brightens somebody's day, you don't even know, you know, and it doesn't matter. And, you know, it's just amazing. There's so many aspects. I mean, I secretly love funeral work. I used to do a lot of funeral work, and some people who aren't in floral would definitely go, that's weird. But if you're in floral, you know, for me, it was the connection to people, and I'm very emotional and I would cry with my clients. I could never hold it together. But, you know, when they're so in grief and you just want to help somebody just as a human to human, you know, and at least I could do something, you know, even though it was just a, you know, the flowers, but it, for me, that always, you know, was always really special. Well, to wrap it up, Teresa, you've been working with some of the students like FFA and things like that, haven't you? Trying to bring education to some of our younger people, trying to get them in the industry?
Yeah. So that is an awesome, awesome thing. When I started an SAIFD chapter, which is a student chapter, when I was an adjunct professor at the State University of New York at Cobleskill. And I have to say that's the highlight of my career, because I was able to expose students to things. I had some students that had never left the towns that they grew up in. Right. And so I brought them to the Philadelphia Flower Show to compete. I brought them to AIFD convention, where they were exposed to the bigger industry. But what we're finding is that so many colleges are doing away with their ag programs, you know, and floral especially. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the chapters are, it's getting smaller and smaller because we don't have the colleges that are supporting that. So what we started doing is going younger and going to the high schools and going into those FFA chapters. And that has been tremendous. I just came back from the Southern region, Allerie, I wish I knew it was right in Covington, Georgia. I had to fly into Atlanta this weekend, and they had all kinds of education, and the FFA students were there, and they did competition, and they attended all the hands-on classes. And to see them in action, they are so excited, and that's what's exposing them to the industry. And starting at that level is hopefully where we'll get people really interested, young women and young men that are interested in the industry. So working with them is just the best. I really, really have a great time when I'm with the students and the college students and FFA students.
I just love that, because, you know, we do have to think of our future for the industry, right? So you know, with, and things are so different now, the new people coming in, the way they're learning, the way, you know, their styles, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. So it's just, you know, but I always love that. I've been part of some industry things. And when I see the students, there is something just super exciting. I'm sad to hear that the colleges are, you know, losing some of those programs. I think that that's really sad. And as an industry, whatever we can do to, yeah, you know, make people realize that that's important. But I knew that you did that. And I think that that's just such a great way to, you know, to help the youth and help show them, you know, what's out there. Because if you're, you know, if you're just in some little town and all you got experience was in a little shop, you haven't seen anything. It's like what you said when you first went to a convention. And for me too, I bought a flower shop. I was starting to have kids and I was like, oh my God, and I don't know what I'm doing and I need to be better. And, you know, it was the first time I went to a show and was just like, whoa, there's other people like me. And, you know, and you collaborate and you know, you go from there. But yeah, I think it's super important to, you know, to lift up the youth, that kind of thing.
One of the best things is when we have the competition, everyone that's like an experienced florist can't wait to get into that room to see what these students have done with this product, because they're not so accustomed to hard rules or anything like that. So they come up with these great, fresh ideas. And that's so awesome to go into a room and see all of these students and how their brains were completely different. They took the same product and they each came up with something different. It's great.
I do love that. And I am always amazed with the students make, because you kind of think, oh, students, you know, and then I'm like, oh my God, like that's really, really good and really creative, you know, so it's very exciting. I'm just so excited to have you three powerful, wonderful ladies on our show today. And I know that you will inspire many. You all have different stories and I think you're all just doing amazing work. And now we all know each other and I know that we'll see each other at some kind of event and we'll have to get to Amy's side of the world and go see her there. And that's right. We'll come on over. And hey, if you go visit your son, I'm just outside of Boulder. So.
Oh, I was just there this weekend.
Oh my God. Yes. See, small world. I got to connect with
Teresa. Teresa was with Mallory. I should have been with
you. I know. We should have been hanging out. So we'll do that.
Yeah.
You know, to all the women out there, we thank you for, you know, just everything that you do for this industry. And I thank the three of you so much for joining us today and for being the role models that you are in the floral industry. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nita.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Since 1897 in Chicago, Florist Review has served the floral industry. We're thrilled to have this new podcast medium to help expand the conversation in our monthly print publications. Visit our website, floristreview.com, to subscribe. We greatly appreciate your support. And please join us for the next episode of The Flower Hour with Florist Review.